John Lewis. Anyone else on yet?
Jerry Martin.
Hi, Jerry. It's Don.
Hello, Don. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling very well, thank you. You?
Good. A lot of flu going around. Sorry to hear that.
Doc and Janelle Hawley.
Hey, Chuck.
Hello.
Janelle.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Pretty good. And you?
Good.
Anthony Shave.
Yeah.
Hey, kids. How's this work, Chuck? Start right at 8 o'clock?
Yeah, when everybody gets here. I don't know. I just know it's us and Don, and I don't know if anybody else is here.
Jerry's here.
Jerry's here. A couple more, and then we'll get going.
John Satriano. Hello.
Hey, John.
Hi, Jonathan.
For a minute, I thought I was first. Hate that.
Very close.
Janelle, you there?
She's there somewhere.
Hello.
Hi, Janelle. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Richard Tennyson.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, Rich.
Hello, hello.
Hey, John.
Martin Frost.
Yeah.
Hey, Martin.
Hey.
Hey, Martin.
Hey, Martin.
Hey, Don. Don.
What's up, Chuck?
No, John, it was me, Anthony. I just wanted to say before we get started here that you have a very eloquent phone voice.
Thanks, Anthony. I hope that, you know, I hope you can remain calm throughout the proceeding.
I got my seatbelt on.
I'm basically waiting for Kim and Sandy to show up.
Is anybody going to Rochester this weekend?
I am.
Don, you're going?
Yeah.
I was considering it, but it doesn't look good.
I'm down in Delaware at the moment, so I'm going to take the Great Circle route back home via RIT.
Okay. Oh, Don, you might not have seen, I added today a small item. I'm not sure how to work it into the agenda, but the video digitization project needs an extra $500 in cost.
Yeah, I saw that. I think we can do that just as an addendum to the original motion.
Sounds good.
That's coming out of the archive funds, I presume.
Right. Well, I don't see you there, Don. Enjoy it.
Thank you. It'll be the first time I've gotten to that conference or convention.
Yeah, it's one of the best for sure.
Looks like a good lineup. Seem to have had people from the Quebec Circus School going to perform.
Hmm.
Holly? Sandy Brown.
Hi, Holly.
Hi.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Sandy.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Johnny. Hey, Holly, what's happening?
Hey, not much. What's happening with you?
Did you run? You're asking me this question in front of the entire board of directors?
I did
5 miles today.
You rock, girl. I didn't run. I swam, but... Cool.
Yeah.
Well, did you get that?
Yeah, Sandy, right before you got here, it was decided that John has the nicest phone voice.
Tim Laird. Oh, he does. Who said that?
Anthony. It's Anthony.
Oh, Anthony. I'm so glad you joined us. He has really good phone voice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, right now I'm working it, so.
I know you are. And you work it good, dude.
Okay, I think that we have everybody here, and I show that it's 8:04.
Hi, Kim.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good. Can we start off with a roll call? Don is here. Kim?
Here.
Andy?
Here.
Harry?
I'm here.
Chuck?
Here.
John?
Here.
Will is not here. Janelle? Martin?
Yep.
Richard?
Present.
Anthony?
Here.
And Holly?
Yep.
Okay. So now we put an agenda up on the forum recently. Everybody get a copy of that?
Yep.
So could I have a motion to approve the agenda, please?
This is Kim. I'll make that motion.
Okay.
Seconded by?
Gary.
Okay. There is one addition to the agenda, and that is an additional $500 for the video archive. Well, I guess we'll put that down under Varia. Is there any other variant to add? In that case, is anybody opposed to the agenda? Any abstentions? Agenda carries. Number two, approval of previous minutes. Motion for that, please.
I'll move.
Seconder?
Chuck will second.
Any discussion?
Janelle, you do a great job with the minutes.
That is true.
Thanks.
You do, Janelle.
You're going to ruin your concentration if you talk directly to her.
Okay, anyone opposed? Any abstention?
Jerry abstained. I wasn't here last time.
Okay. Motion carries with one abstention. Moving on to reports. Festival, Richard is here. You're up.
I am. I have a short report, I guess. There's 89 days at the convention. I spoke with John the other day. We went over a checklist. It was very helpful. I guess I could tell you that there is no Jatan. Due to the weak American dollar, we and the Magic Convention could not make it happen where he's coming. But actually, that saves us some money, so it's not a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
What else? I'm working on the festival program, and I connected Bill Gadez up with the school where we're having juggling at. That was finally solidified, the exact location. I know I owe Chuck a phone call, which I sent him an email asking him if I could talk to him tomorrow. And I think we're going to have a great festival.
That's awesome, Richard.
Absolutely.
Did we get that situation with the Shriners show sorted out?
Yeah, John and Bill Barr are working on that.
Yeah, basically what we're going to do is have the benefit show in the theater. And, Richard, I assume you want to move the welcome show into the convention center on Tuesday night?
That's correct.
Okay, so Shriners will pay us back our rental fee for the theater, and then they'll cover all the costs for the labor. And
that's correct.
We actually end up saving a little bit of money there. Did you end up talking to Joe Fields at all about figuring out where's a good place to put a stage in the convention center?
We are talking about that, and that's part of what Chuck wants to know. And tomorrow I have a phone appointment with Joe and Emily to discuss that all those things.
Sounds good.
Great.
Anybody else have festival questions?
Yeah. Go ahead, Sandy.
Thanks. The festival promo packets are done. They're stunning. They're basically like the ones last year, but I had the inserts changed out for 2008. I'm keeping one to stay in our budget. I could only get 40 instead of 50. I used my artist here in Lawrence. Richard is being sent 30. Kim, you're being sent 9, and I'm keeping one for myself, which I'll probably give to the archives. And they're done. So, Kim, at some point in the next week, I'll get together with you, and we can talk about the structure that John and I set up last year for sponsorships.
Great.
Okay.
That's great. That's great, Sandy. That reminds me, John, if you could send me a copy of last year's festival program and the year before.
Yeah, I just sent it out today. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
And I'm sorry, what were we just talking about? What did you just talk about, Sandy? I lost my train.
I talked about the festival. I talked about the promo packet.
Yeah, I have a D that goes with it. I don't think I'll be able to get 40 of them together, but...
the DVDs for it, right.
Yeah, I'll send you guys a few each and use them in the most best packets that you give out.
Okay, yeah, Kim and Richard, there's a slip cover inside the front of the folder that a DVD slips into, and John will get together what he can. John, we'll get together what we can, and those DVDs will be sent to you, and you can slip one inside the cover to whomever you give them to.
Okay. That's fine, John.
This is Kim, Richard.
Yes.
I just have one question, and maybe this is better done in a phone call just between the two of us. It doesn't matter to me. But for the Juggling Seed show, that will also be just in the convention center. Is that correct?
Well, if we have good – I think I mentioned this a long time ago. We'll have a phone call, too. But if we have good weather, they have this wonderful park right outside the convention center.
That's right.
It's called Triangle Park, and the city is quite – excited to have us out there, and I think it would be really wonderful. It's like a place where people sit and have lunch, and it's a very nice little right outside the door of the convention center.
Okay.
So that's why I prefer to have it if weather permits. Otherwise, we're inside.
Okay.
But we can talk about that too.
Okay. Yeah, we have a few things to talk about with that, just minor things with
okay.
that show that I just want to check on with you so I'm sure of what we're doing.
Sure.
Okay, is that it for the festival?
I have registration numbers if anybody's interested.
Absolutely.
Yes. Adult event packages, we have 215, 14 of which are comped. So we're running behind last year. Last year at the early registration deadline, we had 246 adult event packages. Youth, we have 56, which is a little ahead of last year, although last year we had we had 29 youth group registrations, and this year so far we have none. And St. Ignatius folks have registered, but not as a group because they didn't have enough.
Holly?
Yep.
The Jugheads have sent me their spreadsheet, and we can register to them sometime this week.
Okay. Do you have an electronic copy of the spreadsheet?
I do.
Can you send it to me?
I will. I was just perusing it, and I'll send it to you, and we'll take care of them. But they're coming, yes.
Okay. How many people are they registering?
If you hang on just one second, I can tell you.
Sure.
Come on.
as Richard's looking for this, this is Sandy, and I'd like to just comment that, you know, we may be behind somewhat, but, you know, we also have a gas crisis in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're behind 30 adult packages, but I think people are really keeping the economy into mind, you know, in their considerations for driving, et cetera. So I think there are a lot of factors involved with a lower number.
I agree with that, but I think it still requires a revisit of the budget.
Yeah, you may have to look at the budget again. But, you know, there's not much we can do about attendance except offer the best festival we can, given the resources we have to work with, and I think we're doing it. So, not much.
Holly, I'm not finding this this year, but of course some of this.
Okay, well, send it to me when you find it. I have 4 gym admissions so far, 17 workshop registrations, and 2 vendors registered. For total fest revenue so far of $43,000, roughly.
If I can just comment, I agree with Sandy about the gas short. I think a lot of people are just hedging their bets and waiting to see what they're going to do. But I also think on the other side, a lot of people live close enough they're going to drive in. And as scary as that is additional revenue when they register late. But I agree with John, there's not, you know, there's not much we can magically do to make it all better.
Holly, do you see specifically where this should be honed?
I haven't looked at the budget. I've just been dealing with the registrations.
Okay.
So I can't answer that question.
Sure.
Yeah, I do probably, you know, tighten up wherever we can. But we've been able to do that with some of the shows and stuff lately. So.
Yeah.
Holly,
have
you gotten the late mail-in early bird registrations?
There haven't been many.
Well, I mean, there were some that were mailed to Jim.
Oh, those.
Maybe some mailed to you that were mailed by the deadline, but, you know, hadn't been counted previously.
Yes, I got those from Jim. I also got a transmittal from him today or yesterday, maybe, with a bunch of payments that he had received, and I put those into the spreadsheet. And we still have a small handful of people, I'd say about a half dozen, who have registered but not paid. So those need some follow-up.
Okay, but those are included in your numbers?
Yes, they are.
Including the mail-ins that came in sort of the last minute?
Yes. All of the ones that Jim had are included in my numbers.
Okay.
And I went to the post office today, actually, and there was one more that just came today that was postmarked March 31st.
Hmm.
It had gone somewhere else, and someone else had opened it.
Could you send me your registration sheet again sometime, you know, when you've gotten caught up with whatever?
Yeah, it's all caught up. What I've been trying to do is tie it out to the financials, and I'm off by one DVD, so that's going to drive me crazy.
Okay.
But, yes, I'll send you a copy.
Holly, Jug has 11 youth.
Okay.
Two adults.
Okay.
But I'll send you a spreadsheet tomorrow or tonight.
Okay.
Two adults
at
the full price, right? The adult price.
I'm sorry?
Two Jughead adults at full.
At full.
Adult price.
Yes.
The AEP, as we call it.
Yeah. So our youth registration then is going to be a little behind last year, given that we had 29 youth group registrations last year and we only have 11 this year. That's that.
Before I go, I do have a request of everybody. I need a vendor director. And so far, everyone I've asked has declined, and I'm out of people to ask. So if you have any suggestions, I'll...
It's such a fun job.
Anyway, if anybody has any suggestions on that, that would be helpful.
Richard, Richard, send me a description of what that does, and I'll take a look at it.
Anthony, is that you?
Yes.
That'd be great. Okay.
Okay, we can put a call for that in the newsletter and on the forum as well.
Yeah.
Just before we leave this, Richard, later on in the agenda, there's a proposal to have a non-member registration fee. And I expect this is something that would not necessarily even get used, but there are people out there that want to come and don't want to be members. The proposal is that they pay an extra $50 for a week or $50 a day. Is that going to screw up anything on your end or on Holly's end?
Well, that's a deep ocean there to answer off the top. In theory, I think it sounds reasonable, but I think it's something we have to think about. And, I mean, I'll be honest, my opinion just off the top is I'm against it. But
John?
Yeah?
John, when Todd tried this several years ago in Davenport, was there any response?
I don't think we actually tried it.
Yeah, Todd,
we did.
Todd held this policy in Davenport.
Right.
Now, whether he really didn't advertise it at all, but he had it in his head. Maybe that was as far as it got. But I knew it at the time. I knew it during the festival, and certainly we've talked about it since then. The thing is, he didn't advertise it, and nobody took advantage of it. So that's an experiment we've tried. I don't think this is really worth talking about this year. Again, all we could do is have it without advertising it. All of our advertising possibilities are gone. If we're going to talk about it, I think we should be talking about it.
Well, do we want to make the motion and second it and have a discussion? Because I'm just a little ambivalent because it goes against our tradition of being a member, and I'm just not sure of the rationale behind allowing somebody in for $50. They pay more for not being a member. I just, there's something intuitively wrong about that.
Well, if we're going to have a full-blown discussion about this, we should move that item up in the agenda.
I'm for that.
There has been significant amounts of discussion about this on the open forum already. You'll recall a couple of weeks ago.
Are we moving it up?
Okay, I will move that up now and make my proposal. Non-proposal is in order to accommodate jugglers who do not wish to join the IJA. The IJA will offer a non-member non-member festival price. The cost for the full festival package will be the non-discounted at the door IJA member price plus $50. Cost for single day gym pass for non-members will be the non-discounted at the door IJA member price plus $10. Is there a seconder?
I'll second. This is Kim.
Okay, my reasoning behind this is that some people seem to be pathologically against joining anything. I don't want to exclude anybody who comes up to the store and says, you can't come in under any circumstances unless you're a member. But if somebody wants to hand me an extra $50, come in
20.
As a non-member, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, actually, it's 20.
There was some issue raised a few years ago about this, and the question was whether our insurance requires all attendees to be members.
No, I think our insurance requires everybody to pay to get in.
Okay.
Oh. Hello?
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 So is it $50 or $20 a week if they want to not be a member?
It's $50 because normally you would pay $30 to join.
Right.
So it's $20 more than membership.
Yeah.
Yes. The net cost to somebody is $20.
That's right. So basically, if they're willing to pay $20 to make a statement that they don't want to be a member but still come, that's what it comes down to. Am I right?
That's it.
Okay, then I'm up for that if people want to pay. The $20 to make their statement, if they're paying for it, let them pay for the beliefs. I'm all for it. I don't think there's going to be much, if any, benefit to it. I don't see it happening because who's it really going to hurt? Who's really going to stand out there and say, no, I didn't join the IJA. See, I stood up for what I believe in, which I don't really understand how it's that effective or poignant of an issue. But we can do it, sure.
They may well say, look, I don't want to join. I don't want the responsibility. I don't want a membership card, and I don't want a magazine. And, you know, the extra $20 is the cost of us keeping them off the list.
I'm not sure that I'm willing to make – I'm not sure that I completely agree with this for the fact being that I think there's some intrinsic value to saying – if you want to come in to this great event, you have to be a member.
What if they were to pay an extra $1,000?
Well, Anthony, this is Richard.
I
think that's what that's worth personally.
What's that?
I said I think that's what that's worth personally.
Okay.
I agree with Sandy. I think that I'm not sure what huge political world-shattering statement you're making by saying you don't want to join the IJA, but you want to come play with us. I don't totally conceive of that.
I think for Richard, if it's Chuck talking, I'm always confused, but it's fine. those people would be seen that it would be a public thing that they'd be able to do it, and I don't really. I mean, what is the benefit? What is the benefit to them saying they're not joining an organization, but they're coming to play with us? And then how is it bad for us if we're gaining 20 extra bucks out of it?
Well, I think my two thoughts on the subject are that we do have a tradition. It's you know, not much of a tradition, but it is a tradition. You have to be a member to get in and play. And my other thought is that this is really much of an issue for the board of directors. I think this is an issue for the festival director. If the festival director wants to work this into his private thing, he can come to the board and say, I think we want to do that. As a board, we could maybe, you know, decide to go to the festival director and say, we suggest doing this. But again, I wouldn't think that we want to do it this year. We have no opportunity to advertise it, and there's just no possibility that it's going to have any effect.
Not only that, but we're forgetting that part of our fest is the annual meeting. How do we differentiate non-members from members when voting takes place at that meeting for anything?
Right.
Now that's a valid, I can say.
But we are at that issue with spectator passes. We'd have to check everybody who comes in, because if one single vote is out of place and we're trying to establish a quorum.
Yeah. And for every single vote, you'd have to check wristbands or eligibility, and that could be a logistical nightmare.
Yeah, you have the same problem with visitors at the moment.
Visitors use wristbands. They don't use have event packages. They don't have festival passes.
Let's go to Gem Admission.
What?
Gem Admissions also have a wristband or had last year.
Sure, but those are also members. Spectators do not. Spectators have a different market.
Right. Spectators are not allowed into workshops and other events. They're allowed into the gym.
Yeah. In this case, we would have people with event packages, festival passes, who weren't members.
Well, and maybe the solution to that is to check people at the door. Just like you check people at the workshop door, and that's how that worked.
But we'd have to check them against a membership roster.
But not if they have – it's true.
It's just one of those things that needs further investigation at this point to figure out logistics like that and know exactly how we're going to run with it before we run with it.
And it just seems like there's really no benefit. There really just doesn't seem to be a benefit up to this. Yeah.
Well, what about the guy who arrives at Lexington and discovers that there is a juggling festival
mm-hmm.
and thinks, hey, I can go for a day, but I don't really want to join an organization just for a day's juggling. But, hey, if they'll let me pay an extra $10, why not?
Well, how about this? How about we require them to become a member? However, if they would not like their name listed as a member, we can also give them the ability to revoke their membership immediately following the juggling festival.
Exactly. That's fine.
Because
I would go with that.
Because then they pay the same amount. There's no logistical nightmare, and they could say, I joined just for this.
Yeah.
That's exactly – I got what I needed, and I checked out.
Don't they already have the ability to resign at any time?
I was going to say, it's been done before.
It affects
I'm not sure I understand the question, Don. Did you say somebody who arrives and decides they don't want to pay the membership fee?
Well, let's say somebody arrives and they're available for a day. So they want to come and juggle for a day. Do they really want to pay a $30 membership for one day?
But you're talking about charging them $50 instead of $30. You're not talking about saving them the $30.
I'm talking about for somebody who wants to buy a single day gym pass, where my proposal was that I would charge them an extra $10.
I don't remember that proposal.
Yeah, that was on there.
Oh, okay.
The last part of the proposal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, that is such an unlikely incident. It's not very, you know, and it's part of, it's not what we're doing trying to grow the IJA. That I disagree. I can sort of see the point if people really want to state their claim and want to do something and they're willing to pay for it, then fine. But if someone's just trying to keep out of something, and $30 is not that much in this day and age. I mean, it's less than a tank of gas at this point. I mean, we're talking about all the money.
Well,
and so all the money issues. I mean, I think we're sort of arguing over such a small, minute point. It's just not even – I don't think it's worth the hassle.
I'm thinking in terms of the guy who doesn't really know whether it's worth joining the IJA, whether the festival's worthwhile or whatever, and happens to find himself in the same town as the IJA festival.
And I can also make the argument that if you underprice or undervalue something, you inherently reduce the value of it. So if you sell something for less, it is inherently cheaper, and therefore it has less of – it doesn't look as good. When you say something is members only and you have to pay a certain amount to get into it, special about that, and you could make that. I think that argument is just.
There was that mystique right, when I went to my first IJA festival.
I was going to say, if I'm a juggler and I just happen upon the IJA festival, I think I'm going to be so excited and think, "Yay! I found the mothership, and I would like to join it."
Well,
you're gonna go in for $5 for the first day to check it out. You can't juggle, so you're gonna go in as a spectator for $5, and then you're gonna assess and make your decision.
And
exactly.
We have Monday. I mean, they can come if they live in the area.
Right.
Out and sort of see what it's like. Come Monday.
Right.
Make your decision. How many people are gonna happen to be on Lexington? Happen to be in Lexington on Thursday for a day? I don't think it's worth the adjustment.
Most importantly, I feel like this is more a pricing decision than anything else, and I hate to see us forcing it on a festival director with a mandate about pricing. I think if anything, maybe we can suggest it to the upcoming festival director and see if he wants to work it into his pricing schedule.
Yeah, I'm actually...
The schedule should run on his philosophy. You know?
I'm actually one that belongs to other organizations that do this. All right, and I've seen how it works. I don't know the exact numbers of how many extra they get in through this, you know, through a promotion like this. I just think the timing on it is wrong, you know, and like you said, John, I do also feel that it's the fest director's ultimate decision as to whether to include that in the price package or not. You know, it should be the board and the fest director working together on it, but... You know, it should be all of us working together on it and timing it right so that it could be advertised.
Well, and I think
especially if we're going to use it as an experiment of sorts.
There's two aspects here. I mean, one is the pricing issue, which I agree that should go to the festival director. But the other is the issue of this a members only thing, and I don't think that's the job of the festival director. That sort of goes beyond the festival, and it's a little bit more involved differently.
I think it would be the festival director's job to decide that with the board.
Right.
But I hate to see the board mandating any kind of festival decisions on the director. I really do.
That's true. I understand.
Well, do we want to table this?
I'll agree with that.
I think we should table this for further discussion. And
if you table it, you have to deal with it next month and the next month and the next month and keep tabling it, or you could just vote it down if you don't want to do it this year.
Okay.
Yeah, let's vote it down now and see if it comes up again in September. And that way, Sandy and Don, you guys don't have to deal with it anymore.
We're even revisiting it right after the fest so that that can be looked at.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm encouraging your vote.
So, one of the things that occurred to me in proposing this is we don't have to advertise it. This simply be sort of one of the things in the festival director's bag of tricks. If he comes across somebody that he wants to bring in under some circumstance, he can do it this way.
And I actually don't like that idea. I feel as though there's a rule, and we should stick with the rule, and there should be, I just... a rule for everybody should know about it in advance, well in advance, if we're going to vote on this. And it shouldn't just be saying to somebody, oh yeah, by the way, you can come in and no one else knows about it. Yeah, you can come in and you don't have to be a member. But the other 800 people, yeah, you have to be members.
All right, I think we've had enough discussion here. I'm going to call the question.
Hold on. I was going to say.
Yeah, okay.
Well, instead of voting it down, which sounds very like we're very against it, we could maybe change the motion to say that we're going to suggest this to the future festival director.
I think that's part of our discussion, so we'll do that. We don't need a motion to suggest.
But you could amend the motion out of, you know, existence basically that way and not have voted it down.
Then vote positively for it instead of voting it down. That way it doesn't sound like we're saying we don't want this to happen.
Right.
We're saying we're just not making a decision on it.
Well, I can always just withdraw the motion if that's the popular sentiment.
Can that be done?
Sure. I made it.
Well, yeah, it's been seconded. So, well, can you can withdraw it? Is that correct?
Yep.
Robert's rules?
Yeah, after discussion, it can be withdrawn.
Yep.
Okay.
Is there anybody against withdrawing it? Any abstentions on that? In that case, the motion is withdrawn. Thank you for that. Okay, I think that's the end of festival-related stuff.
That was all very interesting. We'll be in touch with many of you soon, and thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
You too, Richard. Yeah.
Okay, next thing is membership. Kim, did you ever get that file from the membership team?
Yes, I did, but I did not get it until just yesterday because the mailbox that Will and Rhonda sent it to has been down. They were resurvising their thing, so... But I did get it just yesterday, and I will start making calls tomorrow.
Okay.
There are a few people. There are two or three people on there that I actually know personally, and if I know them, they just forgot to pay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's moving forward.
Jim,
is Molly still on the phone?
Yes.
Do we want to get to her for doing finance stuff? I'm just looking at the list of people and the list of stuff that needs to go, and the rest of us need to be here for the rest of it. I don't know if she wants to, so.
Holly, do you want to do finance now?
Sure. I'll do finance now.
Okay.
Can I report whatever I want, or did somebody have something in particular in mind?
Report whatever you want. We'll chime in.
Okay. Holly? Yeah.
This is Sandy. I have not gotten to you Q1 information yet, so I apologize about that.
I don't think anybody's gotten me Q1 information yet, so
okay.
You're not alone.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the status of things with finances. The Q4s are up on the website, for better or worse. The 990 needs to be prepared. I have not even started it yet. And so in all likelihood, I'm going to have to file an extension for the 990. I'll do my best to get it done, but it's just a really busy time of year for me, so I don't know if it'll get done or not. The Q1 financials will be done whenever I get any information from anybody. I haven't gotten anything from Alan Howard, actually, for 9 months now. So he's got some catching up to do. I need Q1s from Sandy. I need receipts from anybody who has receipts to submit. I'm trying to think what else. The treasurer position, Chuck, you sent me an email, and I apologize. I haven't had time to respond to it. But it might be quicker for me to just give you some quick thoughts on it. And the basic question was how to split up the job most logically and effectively. And I think that, first of all, the treasurer position should be a board position. So there should be somebody on the board of directors who has ultimate responsibility for the financial statements. That person would not necessarily do very much of the work of the bookkeeper or bookkeepers. The bookkeeping responsibilities, I think, could be split into at least two, one person paying bills and the other person dealing with PayPal transactions, which in terms of the time, the recording PayPal transactions is the bulk of the workload, especially around festival registration time. And then I think it makes sense to hire a professional to do the 990 and perhaps to file the annual report, although that's pretty simple, but somebody's got to be responsible for getting that done on time. And then probably the treasurer should be doing the bank reconciliations just as a way of checking up on everybody else's work and making sure that money is in order. So those are my thoughts in a nutshell on the treasurer position. It is my intention to get through the fest and bring the computer to the fest with me and turn it over to whoever is appropriate at that point. And I guess I'd like to know fairly soon who that is, because I want to get the bank accounts in their name as well so that that transition can happen pretty quickly at the festival.
Okay. I'll try to put some thoughts together and pass some stuff around the board and get back to you in the next week or two.
Okay.
On some ideas. we'll go from – I'll say, right now I'll say we'll go from there and see what we can do, and we'll work something out.
Okay.
We'll get it moving. Okay. Thank you.
Any questions on financials other than that? Okay.
They seem to be pretty straightforward, the ones that we posted for Q4.
I hope so. I mean, I know that all the information was not in when those went out, because, and I know that because it keeps trickling in. You know, people keep sending receipts that are 8 or 9 months old. But I don't think there was anything really significant that was missing, so I think they're okay.
Thank you very much, Holly.
You're welcome. Is there anything else on the agenda that you guys need me to stick around for or no?
I don't think so, actually.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly.
Thanks, Holly. Bye.
Thanks, Holly.
Okay, moving along, let's do the store and Sandy.
I don't have a lot to report on the store. Nothing, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Are there any products you would like to sell?
Well, somehow all of our Juggle magazines that were listed in the store inventory have disappeared. I mean, not the actual magazines, but Martin, isn't that your understanding that?
As far as I can tell, they were never ever listed in the store except for one Juggler's World. That's the best I can say.
Except when you go into inventory in the store, and I would have lists of every single one, and it would show me which ones were not for sale.
Inventory in the store?
Every single Juggle magazine, and it's gone. I wonder if...
You're sure? No, you're talking about Juggle magazine.
Juggler's World.
You're sure it was Juggler's World? Because Juggle magazine is certainly listed there, and it's, you know, by year.
No.
There's 8 years, 10 years worth.
No, these were Juggler's Worlds, and they're gone. And I wonder if when some store things got switched over recently, if they disappeared.
It's possible.
Possible. But we need to get them back in the store.
Yeah.
And I'll work on that. It's not going to happen. It can't happen anytime real soon, but...
Scott seemed to think they weren't ever there, but, you know, he probably wasn't paying attention to them. I had the feeling they were there, but then, you know, I've looked and I don't see anything.
Yeah.
Except that one issue. The fact that one issue is there suggests that they didn't all disappear, but, you know, I don't know how all but one could disappear.
No, because I remember at one point about a year ago going over this with Alan Howard and making sure that I went into the inventory in the Juggler's World and making sure the ones that were sold out were listed as such.
You're sure you weren't just looking at the Excel spreadsheet that showed which ones were sold out?
No, it was not an Excel. It was in the store where you have a red dot to show which ones are not available.
Right. Okay.
Okay, so somehow they've disappeared, and I wonder if it was a glitch when things were...
It's possible.
The store changed. Yeah.
It's possible.
Martin can work on that offline.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we need to get those up and going because, you know, I certainly have the inventory.
Okay.
So
that's it for that. The next item would be video. I guess in this one we may as well work in the extra 500 from our exploits in video translation.
Okay. I delivered all the tapes to the duplicator, and when we counted them up, my count was slightly off. And then he went and got some estimates on the older analog tapes that he can't do himself, and some of them are pretty expensive. In particular, there's a set of U-matics, very old, high quality broadcast videotape, and we don't know what's on it, but it would be quite expensive. He was unable to find a company that is doing it anymore, but he was able to find a machine he could rent to do it. Anyway, what we're actually going to suggest is that we not do the U-matics this year. And I think there are about 15 of them, and let's just put that aside. For all the remaining tapes, which includes some other older, strange formats, the total would come to $5,000, which is $500 more than my original estimate. So I just asked for approval for the extra $500, and the project is already underway. We'll finish all the paperwork.
John, is there anything... Is there any date or anything on the U-matic tapes?
No, there's no indication of what they might be.
No text at all. Okay.
Nope.
Those are probably the oldest ones we have.
What's that?
They're probably the oldest ones we have.
Yeah, they might be.
Is there any way of viewing those tapes before going to the effort of converting them, or is that much the same thing?
Much
the same problem.
Yeah. It's literally so old that it's almost impossible to find a machine that can view them.
Did this guy who said he could rent a machine give you a price for what it would cost to convert those 15? including the rental?
No, not an exact price, but an estimate around $2,000 to rent the machine.
Just for the machine in part.
Right.
I wonder if there's a federal archive or something that would have a machine like that where we could just go and see what's on those tapes before we decide whether it's worth converting.
That could be. But like I said, what I'm suggesting now is that we not do those tapes, not include that expense right now. And let's just concentrate on the stuff that we can do and get it done, and then we'll work on the rare and exotic stuff that's left over.
Well, I would go along with that, except for the fact that those machines may not be available for much longer. So we can't put it off forever.
That's true.
Well, it is a broadcast format, and I suspect it won't just disappear, although, you know, the broadcasters probably don't use it at all. But
well, I'm wondering if you went to the local NBC affiliate and asked them if they had a machine in their library, could they let you look at the thing or something?
It's not a bad idea.
They would even do it pro bono. Anyway, can we have agreement on spending this extra $500? Is there anyone opposed to that? Any abstentions on that? And that's a go.
And I won't forget
putting these things straight in the middle of reports.
I won't forget about the U-matic, so I'll make sure they get them. And the other part of the video report is we have major progress on videography for Lexington. I have Jay Coe and Ivan Pfeffel and a videographer named John Henke all picked out. And we really just need to nail down the contracts, and I'll have them next month for your approval, for board approval.
Excellent. Anything else on video?
Don't think so.
Okay.
Good job, John. Thanks.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sounds like an excellent solution to the video conundrum.
Yeah, it'll come in right around the same budget as last year. She may be off by $500, but shows will have a professional three-camera shoot, and we'll also get soundboard recordings of sound so we can... We may even be able to do something as technically difficult as removing the music from somebody's soundtrack and leaving the applause.
Sounds good. Okay, moving on. Chuck, anything on competition?
I sent out about 16 of the competition test DVDs. I've gotten probably about half of them back with another week to go. So getting some input from a lot of different people, and we're moving along and should be putting some final posting stuff, and I'm starting to work on judges as well. So
who's winning? Who's winning?
I be honest with you, I have not put in scores yet or even considered them, and you put together 16 acts. John helps me with the DVD, and the actual scores and how they turn out is sort of the lesser important things, as much as, you know, the comments I've gotten back from them and the issues and questions that have risen up. But I'm curious to actually see. I've only looked at a couple to see where they actually got scored, but I haven't compiled the numbers yet because I need someone to help me work on a computer program for that. So I have a couple people help me with that too. Oh, but that's also part of the test. So the test is working, and we're coming along.
Good.
That's great, Chuck.
That's exciting, actually.
Thanks, Chuck.
Thank you, John, helping out.
Yeah, thank you guys. By the way, that it was awesome.
thanks for doing the thing too, Kim.
Not a problem.
Next item is World Juggling Day. Do we have anything new on that, Kim?
I have not heard from Barry Rappaport. He is among the missing. Dean is very difficult to get in touch with. I happened to contact Crash last week to see if he had heard from Dean. I know when I was at the New York Fest a few weeks ago, I spoke with Crash then, and he said, yes, he had spoken with Dean about World Juggling Day shirts and given him an estimate and everything, and he was just simply waiting for the design from Dean. As of just this morning, I got an email back from Crash saying he ran into Dean at the Burning Club Fest, was it? Or one of the fests.
Yeah, Burning Club, yeah.
And he said that Dean did share with him the idea that he had and the sketch he was working on. Crash said it's an awesome idea. It's just we have to nail down dates and all now to get these done. He can get them done rather quickly. It's just a matter of getting the artwork from Dean at this point. I worked with Sandy on getting together a list of IJA donations. So they'll be going up soon by the end of this week. And I've been working with Dean on who he has already contacted as far as donations and who he would like me to contact. So we have sort of a split-up list at this point. The website is up and running. David did a bunch of updates for us, and the registration is now open. So I know a few people have already listed their events. So things are rolling along, a little slower than I would like, but they're rolling along.
Okay.
Kim, so the sponsors listed on that are from this year then? On the World Juggling Day?
David was supposed to take those sponsors from last year off, and it was just supposed to say
okay.
The
well, it
sponsors
looks like
will be listed soon. So I have to change that with them.
Okay. They should get taken off quickly.
Yeah.
Misleading.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those same people have already committed to this year as well, but I'd rather put up a whole fresh list.
Yep.
Okay, it sounds like that's moving along. Thank you, Kim, for letting heard on that.
No problem. You're welcome.
Thanks, Kim.
Thanks, Kim.
The e-newsletter, I don't think there's anything specific to report on that, but has to come out in the next 10 days or so. So once I get home again next week, I'll be working on that. Half-page article, the students there wrote for me. So I'll use that to lead off and build my festival buzz. We can ask for the vendor director. Anything else you would like to get in there? I noticed that there was a suggestion that we make it a bit more visible that people can donate to the archives, so we can put an archive donation article in.
One other thing, Don. When I was up in New York, there were two women who approached me. Apparently, they're both. At least one of them is an IJA Life member, and I'm sorry, I don't remember their names off the top of my head. They were not aware that the IJA is a 501c3 group, and they said they would gladly be donating money to the IJA if they had known that, you know, sooner, and thought that it would be nice for us to advertise that a little bit more.
Okay, that's the sort of thing we should do through the store. Like, we can tell people it exists, but should they be able to just go to the store and say, here's some money, or what?
Well,
they can donate through the store, but the website on the front page should say at the bottom, you know, the IJA is a 501c3,
mm-hmm.
and donations can be, you know, and linked to the store or something like that. Should be on
It should be on
page,
a web page itself, yeah. Even if it's, like, right next to International Jugglers Association, Inc., a 501c3, you know, something in the line like that. But
somebody want to contact David and arrange that?
I'll
contact him if you want. I have to contact him about World Juggling Day anyway.
Okay.
Okay.
I suggest the bottom main page.
Probably not a bad idea to put in the e-newsletter, you know.
Yeah,
once or twice a year.
Right.
I don't think it should be, you know, overly done, but a couple times a year might have an idea.
We don't want to do PBS.
But we also should be, and actually that raises the question that, you know, we should be actually asking for donations a couple of times a year, even if it's just a subtle thing in the e-newsletter.
Yeah.
That says, you know, we're 501c3, you can get a tax donation, you know, deductible donation.
Right.
You know, for people with companies that match donations, that's a good thing for us.
It would have been nice to do that in February and March as tax season was coming up. Well, probably the end of the year would have been better, huh?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So let's do it at the end of the year and again, you know, in May or something.
Right.
Okay, we should add that to our perpetual calendars. Okay, unless anybody else has any other ideas for the newsletter.
Somebody said something.
It's Jerry. I said, what better use for one's economic stimulus check?
Right. There you go.
Now we have a marketing idea. That's good.
You can write that one up, Jerry. Okay, let's move on to bylaws. Anything interesting happening there, Kim?
The bylaws committee, as it stands alone, has been very, very quiet. I put things out to the committee, and then if I don't hear from anyone or within a week, I've been putting things up, you know, on the forum for public input, which some things have been getting public input. It seems like the consensus of the public membership, though, is they're kind of happy with what's there. At least that's the impression I'm getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have a few more items to put up that were suggested by either the parliamentarian or by other members within our membership, or by the bylaws committee themselves. I'll put them up and get a little bit more feedback, but I think everybody's happy with where they are and what they say. That's about all I have. I'm just trying to get responses from people at this point.
Okay. Sandy, you wanted to have a brief review of how our members-only forum is working.
Yeah. I think that anybody have any comments about this? I just wanted to touch base with it. Seems as though things are better since we took off moderation. Would everybody agree with that?
Yes.
I mean, better is a relative term here.
Yeah, I don't think things are any better, but at least they're not right in public view for Google and God and everybody else.
Right. For Google and God, I like that.
We can't let God see them.
No.
You mean he's not a member?
So, anybody feel like they need to make any changes? I tell you, it's going very nicely on this end here about giving people passwords. You know, people have not had to wait very long at all. And when I take any extended trip, Martin's indicated that, you know, he can certainly do that. I get one or two a week, and that's about it, frankly.
Which almost surprises me we even got that many. But so, I mean, that means some people are at least interested in looking at it. They may not read it very long, but...
Somebody wanted to get their password, and I looked at their membership, and they were expiring the next day. And I said, "Well, I'll give you a password tomorrow if you renew, when you're renewed." And I never heard back from them. So.
Yeah, I feel like it's going, you know, as well as it possibly could.
It seems like one or two people who have not posted in the past. In the recent past, are now posting again.
Certainly, I've not received any general negative comment on it.
Right. I think overall, I'm pleased that we've gone this route. Would everybody agree?
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it was the right thing to do.
Okay.
Okay, are there any other reports that anyone wants to give before we're running into new business?
I would. I'd just like to give everybody an update on the youth jugglership applications.
Yeah.
We have received one fully completed application from a from one of the clubs out in Salt Lake City, Utah. And the girl's name is Taylor, and she is an awesome kid. And I have heard back from not all of our committee members about the application, but she is more than deserving of the youth jugglership. And I spoke with both her and her mother by phone. She's very excited about getting to the festival. We're talking a single-parent family. The mother's working two jobs just to try and make ends meet, and so she said this would be a blessing for them. There is one other person who I was told to expect an application from and still have not gotten one, but I asked the committee members, and I've heard back from three, well, from four if you count me, four out of the five committee members have said, you know, since it's the first year, let's extend it a little bit, since this person said they were going to be recommending someone for the program, and see if they get the information in the next couple of days. So, but it looks like things are working well, and we may have a youth jugglership program and a juggle camp this year, so I'm excited. Only two, but two is better than none.
Absolutely.
Right.
Is there a deadline for applying?
April 1st was the deadline, and that's why I emailed all of the committee members, all of those who said they would like to vote, you know, on these applications. And those who responded back to me already said, yeah, let's give this second person a chance. It's the first year for the program, you know. So they didn't want to be a stickler necessarily about deadlines.
Doesn't sound like that's a problem. Okay, shall we move on to new business? First item of new business is Don moves that Steve Rann be appointed chief teller for the Lexington 2008 election.
I'll second that.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Steve did a great job last year.
Yes, he did.
He's a good man.
All right. Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Second item, Don moves that the IJA roster be changed from a protected PDF format to an unprotected PDF format as a convenience for members. Second, please.
Second.
I'm against it. I think that it makes our email addresses from the roster too easy for people to collect and spam for whatever purpose they want. Member purposes, or you know, for soliciting for sale purposes. And I'm concerned about both.
I followed the link that Greg Phillips put up there.
Johnny, I can't hear you.
Hang on, let me. Okay, I followed the links that Greg Phillips put up there, and I'm not sure it could be much easier than it is now. The those harvesting programs are very easy to use.
I'd like to say that making it easy is different from making it legal.
Oh, well, we still say that it's, restricted to membership use. That doesn't make it, that does not make it legal. It's just making it easier to make it legal.
No, but if you make it legal for a member to take all those email addresses and send everybody a message saying, vote for me or whatever, then I think that's bad.
I think what we're doing is making it for juggling-related activity is regional, and if we need to specify that, that's fine. But
I would rather see requests for email addresses to go to the membership team or to somebody who could just extract those addresses probably fairly easily and give them to those specific people who need it for festivals or whatever. I mean, that's a different thing, and it protects the database.
All I know is it took me hours to copy down email addresses of people for workshops last year. And I'm sympathetic for anybody trying to expedite for volunteers.
What do you mean for workshops? What are you talking about?
Well, for me to contact all the people in workshops who've done it previously, I had to manually go in and copy it stuff and write it down and through and hunt them because I couldn't search them. I couldn't search it manually. I couldn't do a find, and I couldn't search it. Now, if I were smart, I would have followed Greg's links and copied the whole thing into a format that I could have used illegally, but I did not, and that is actually one of the reasons why I'm workshop director again this year. Not because I don't feel like I don't have enough on my plate, but because I know how much time it took to do all that, because I couldn't search it, because I couldn't copy and paste it, and because I already have that built into my system from last year, a lot of that work's already done. I wouldn't feel the need to necessarily do it again. I'm trying to save other people time by not passing that along.
I would say, first of all, that I'm disappointed that previous workshop leaders have not passed that information along, because I used to get an email every year from the workshop leader saying, you know, you did a workshop last year and we'd like you to do one this year. And some, you know,
that information was asked for multiple times from previous workshop leaders and they did not come through.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate. But I also think that it's too bad that you didn't ask, let's say, the membership team to give you the addresses that you needed.
Right, but that also wasn't made clear to me, and not me not being on the board and me not understanding the ins and outs and all the things of that. I just thought, I said, okay, I'll get the things from the roster, and I went in and I said, this is what I have to deal with. Because
right.
I assumed that it was there for a reason, and that the reason is there to protect people from sending stuff out, then I thought, you know, I have to follow the rules. But if the reality is that if somebody wants to go around those rules and can easily do it, what's the point?
Yeah.
That's why I
point,
think back to
the point is still to protect the data, because some people can do it, but some people won't. And some people don't know that it can be done. And if we provide the mechanism for getting that information that you needed last year, for instance, readily from the membership team, and make it public that, you know, people who need this information, that the IGA is willing to provide this information for festivals or for whatever it is the IGA would be willing to provide it, then you know, you people in your situation hopefully wouldn't be in the dark.
That's true. But then it also puts a little more pressure on the membership team then, too. A little bit more work on the membership
well.
Team as well.
But again,
a lot of people will sit down and actually copy out addresses rather than write an email to the membership team and hope that they get it back, an answer in a week or so. Whereas, you know, if they could just sit down for 2 hours, manually copy out something, they'll do that instead. So really all we're doing is annoying the people who would normally do things the right way. The people that care.
That's true, except if somebody is running for an office and they say, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and send out a mass email. Yes, I know I'm not supposed to, but by the time you send the email, get sent out, it's too late. There is nothing that can be done about that. I would be really pissed off about that if anybody sent me something like that, and it's waived, it's done and it's passed. So it sounds like we need to expedite the situation for people who need it, but we still need to protect people. So how do we do that?
Well, does anybody know if we have any policies in place on the use of the roster as is?
The only policy I'm aware of is that it can't be sold for, like, vendor purposes, advertisement purposes.
As far as I know, we don't have any policy except that we will not sell people's email addresses.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we certainly...
Maybe that's what we need to do, is just add some policy to this motion saying what you can and cannot use it for.
It's interesting because I tried to get a discussion of that going when we first had that thread that Greg started, and it went nowhere.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't make a decision here. I think it's okay to use it for notifications of upcoming juggling festivals. And I think maybe that's the only mass email that's really acceptable from the roster.
Let me ask you a question.
I think it's okay to extract individual emails for personal communications, but anything beyond juggling festival notification would be out of the question.
What if all the juggling festivals sent email to all of the IGA members?
Yeah.
How would you feel about that? Would you be happy to see that happen?
I don't think it would bother me very much.
Okay. What if some angry IJ member started sending email to all the IJ members?
Yeah, that's a problem. You mean angry, that an angry email that's not a notification of a juggling festival?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
that would be against the rules. Yeah.
Right. And what's to prevent somebody to make that? What's to prevent somebody from preventing that? What's to prevent us from making that not happen?
Well, there's nothing to prevent it now. There's no policy, and there's some minor protection, which is no longer really valid.
But if you make it open, you basically have given it to people.
Well, unless we tell them how you can and cannot use it, which I think
they're not.
We should do anyway.
I don't trust people to follow those rules. I would vote no for this.
Let me give an example of something that would be horrible. Someone gets mad about the way the IJ treated them, or they didn't get a refund or whatever. And they grab this list of emails, and they create an email, and they say two, and they list 2,000 email or 1,500 email addresses,
mm-hmm.
and now everybody gets an email, and in that email, on the two line, there are 1,500 email addresses,
mm-hmm.
and after those many thousand lines down at the bottom, it gives some rant. Now, 10% of those people get pissed at seeing this long email header, and they reply saying, "Why did I get this?" Okay, now you've got another 200 of these emails floating around, and it goes on and on. I've seen this happen in lists where people accidentally reply to everybody and put them. It can be a pretty awful.
Yeah, but I think Greg's point is that there's nothing to stop them from doing it now. In fact, there isn't even any policy that restricts them from doing it now. They can do it now.
There is. It's on the roster.
I thought I asked if there was any policy, and the answer was no.
Well, the policy is stated on the roster.
Oh, okay. Do we know what it is?
No. I can pull up the roster and read it to you. It's on the bottom of the first page.
Yes, the IJ roster is produced solely for the benefit of the IJA's members. Distribution to non-members or use of the information contained herein for commercial solicitation is strictly prohibited. Absolutely nothing about using it for dunning your fellow member.
Right. A member can use it for a mass email for any reason. If he wants to send out a political thing, he just has to get past the protection. And
so we shouldn't let him get past the protection.
Well, we can't stop them.
We can. We can make it harder.
We can make it a slightly more. It's right now. It's slightly more difficult. We can make.
Yeah,
it slightly more
somebody
difficult.
Like me, I wouldn't look further to make. I wouldn't look further for that. I would just say, "Oh, I can't do it, so I can't do it." I mean,
if you ask 100 people,
some of our disgruntled members would stop at nothing.
If you ask 100 people, only one of them at most is going to know that they can get by that.
Yeah,
it's a great.
Nothing more. Greg has told everybody now that they can get by it.
Yeah, but only 20 people read the forum, so nobody.
Well, the thing is, anybody who owned a Mac could always get past this.
I was going to say, on my Mac, it's not a big deal.
But they don't know they can get past it.
Even if you let the copy protection go. And leave it wide open. Somebody still has to sit down there and cut and paste 2,000 times. I don't know anybody bad enough to do that.
No, you can do it. You can do a search function and pick out all the emails.
Yeah, but it still take you hours.
No.
Now there's a whole lot less people who know how to do that.
Yeah. I could write a program that would go through and
I could do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Nice.
Give me all
of that. And that's how long it would. I think that's how long it would take someone who was determined to do it, even with the protection in place. Maybe it would take them 7 minutes.
But it sends a signal. If we make it unprotected, it sends a signal that we don't care.
Well, I think we need better policy, and we need better. I think the policy should be posted along with the link, and along with the. Every time Greg makes a post saying, "Here's the new policy. Here's the new roster," he should put that policy up. And then when you go to that page, the policy should also be there, and it should be in the roster. And the policy should be pretty strict, that you can use it for individual personal communications between members. It's for members' use only, which it's not for now. I don't think our current policy really restricts it to members' use. It says it's for the benefit of the members. And I also think that it should be no mass emailing beyond, you know, juggling festival notifications.
I'm curious that these objections didn't come up when we were discussing this at the forum. I thought this would be a slam dunk.
Yeah, I'm surprised, Martin. I would have liked to have seen you bring these objections up and see how people...
Well, I don't like discussing things on the forum for the obvious reason.
Yeah.
Does Sam say cheaper to discuss them on the forum than on a phone call? All right, what I'm going to suggest is that we table this one and do it next month. Have some more discussion on the forum.
Okay.
Anyone against tabling? Abstentions from tabling. Okay, so I declare this one table. Running 1-for-3 on my motions tonight.
But you got 2 new tables.
In baseball, that would be a great average.
One table and one withdrawal.
All right, John, to make up with that, I'll buy the wine the next time I see you.
Okay, John, I hope you have better luck with this next one. John is Mike Sullivan, the appointed festival director for the 2009 Winter Festival. I will second that. Is there discussion?
I've talked to Mike. You know, he did a fantastic job as our memberships director. He's extremely organized. He watched me work in Winston-Salem, and I think he got a feel for how well it, you know, for how things go. And his main concern was getting guests and getting the shows together. And I told him that you know, basically the team that did it in 07 was willing to do that part of the festival again. He was very eager at that point. I think he'll do a great job.
Yeah, I talked to him at length as well, and I think he'll do a great job as well. I think he'll have a lot of support. And he communicates very well.
Yeah.
He communicates well, and he's very well organized. I mean, when I was dealing with him when he was the membership director for all the years, boy, I mean, he was always very quick to respond and do, you know, little things, and he was happy to do things, and it was a joy to communicate with him.
Okay, we ready to vote on that? Anyone against? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Congratulations, John.
Go, Mike.
Who will contact him? John,
you want to do that?
John, you want to contact him? Because I'm out of town.
Okay,
I'll contact him when I get home. May as well let him know right away.
Okay.
I'd be happy to contact him if you want me to, but I'm also happy to have you do it.
Yeah. I'll give him a heads up, and then Don can give him the official, you know, head of the board. Thank you.
Good.
Don, let us know when you've done that so we can make the announcement.
Okay.
All right. I have no further business here. Does anyone have any varia at this point? It's 9:22 in Delaware. Okay, I guess we will entertain an adjournment.
We need to pick a date for next month.
Right. We do actually have a calendar in front of us.
May 21st is the third Wednesday.
21st works for me.
21st works for me?
Okay, it probably works for me, but I may be in Nova Scotia.
Maybe a what?
Yeah, maybe to Nova Scotia at that point.
Ah.
But they do have telephones down there, so I should be able to...
So why do they call it down there?
in Nova Scotia. Like, even if you're in the, on the east coast of the United States, they say, we're going down to Nova Scotia.
I think it has something to do with depression.
Okay.
It's an optical illusion.
They're all standing on their head.
That's right. That's when you go backwards in time. That's 300 years or so.
Okay, just checking. Okay, Wednesday, Wednesday, May 21st for our next meeting.
Yeah.
Barry, can you make it?
I can. The 28th would be preferable, but I hate to throw a monkey wrench in.
I can't make it the 28th.
Okay, 21st is good. I'll work it out.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
We worked on.
We've gone to 9:24 adjournment.
Who moved to adjourn and what time?
9:24.
I move.
Thank you.
John.
Sitting still.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good
night.
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 Bye.